Okay, welcome everybody to this meeting of Central Tablelands Water Council. I'd like to welcome everybody. Before we get the meeting underway, under our code of meeting practice, Councillor Andrew Rawson is attending by audiovisual means and the code requires us to pass a resolution admitting Councillor Rawson into the meeting. Would someone like to move that way? Councillor Cook, thank you. Seconded Councillor Ewan. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Councillor Rawson, you are now officially in the meeting. Thank you. And while I'm on sort of formalities like that, I'd like to formally welcome to her first council meeting our new governance officer, Michelle Dio. Welcome to Central Tablelands Water. Welcome to Australia as well. And welcome to the cold weather.
Thank you.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we're meeting today, the Wiradjuri people, who have been custodians of the land and waters through all our three local government areas for tens of thousands of years, and I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. Agenda item three, recording of the meeting statement. The basis on which this meeting is being recorded is set out in the business paper. I'd just like to remind councillors that what they say will be recorded and kept and published on the council's website within a week or two of this meeting. Next item, apologies and leave of absence. We're all here, so there's no apologies. Any no leave of absence applications?
No, Mr. No. Chair.
We move on to confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting held on the 21st of June. Those minutes have been circulated. Would someone like to move we accept those minutes? Councillor Best, seconded. Councillor Nash, thank you very much. I'll put that, those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Matters arising from the minutes. There's one item in the minutes which I guess we'll do later in the meeting unless you want to deal with it now. Question on notice from Councillor Rawson in relation to the environmental flow rules for Lake Rowlands. General Manager advised that the question would be taken on notice and report the response to the next council meeting. Do you want to report that now or later in the meeting?
Through you, Mr. Chair. Defer to Noel, to Director of Operations and Technical Services. I know he's been doing some research on that question and the other question. And if Noel, did you want to report on that now or later in the meeting?
I'm happy to report on it now, if you like.
Yeah, yes. Let's deal with that as a matter arising with the minutes, yes.
Okay. So, in line with the question, what is the current environmental flow rules for Lake Rowlands under Central Tablelands Water current water access licence requirements? So, in September 2020, NRA advised CTW that our current statement of approval covering 2019 through to 2029 had not been carried over, or had not carried over the repair and release requirements as listed in a formal licence. So the release requirements were being from the 1st of April through to the 31st of November. Our riparian releases was 1.22 megalitres per day. And between the 1st of December through to the 31st of March, we were required to release 2.44 megalitres per day. But that was subject to the inflow being greater than or equal to these values. So otherwise the release should not be less than what the inflows are. So that was the part that was omitted from our current licence. And NRA advised that once the conditions are drafted, Central Tablelands Water will be contacted to advise of the process for implementation. So to my knowledge, CTW is still awaiting advice for this implementation. However, DOTS has contacted and is awaiting NRA's, awaiting a reply from NRA for an update. So we have contacted NRA just requesting an update. So as far as our releases, the dam continues to overflow approximately 1% per day. So that's been continuous. That equates to 45 megalitres per day that we are actually releasing or is being topped over the dam. So CTW is well within the above future release requirements. Okay, so is there any question on that?
No, that's fine. That was what NRA said was going to be incorporated into our licence when they got around to it.
Correct.
So at the moment, if I understand that correctly, our licence actually doesn't have that condition in there, but they intend to put it in.
Correct.
And that was three years ago.
Yes.
And we're still waiting.
Yes. So look, I may have missed some documentation that comes through. We have a variety of correspondence avenues. One is directly via emails, which is where we normally pick things up. The other one is coming through registered mail, which will be addressed to the general manager. And so I have done as much chasing as I can, but I can't find an update of where they have implemented those now. But I have asked, I've made correspondence via email back to NRA, the person that initially brought that to our attention, and I'm just awaiting on response back from them.
Well, my guess, if they've thought about it at all, is probably they will wait to see the outcome of the Bulimba Water Security Project, which will involve re-examining the conditions of our licence anyway, and incorporate environmental flow rules in the new licence.
Yes. Yeah. So there is also with NRA, we were going through our non-urban metering requirements. We did acknowledge that the actual descriptors associated with this licence were different than what the actual name was. So we had it down as Bylong Dam. It should have been Lake Rowlands Dam. We had a 125 takeoff pipe, or 175, sorry, instead of a 375. So while we were going through the process of our metering requirements, which was only this year, we did advise NRA to update the descriptors as well. So it's not as though they're waiting on us for anything. We've actually gone with other areas to make a change to that documentation, our licence, but I have not received, to my knowledge, I have not received, and I don't think there's any official documentations that have come, otherwise they would have been listed in our system as well.
Yep. Okay. Councillor Rawson, that was in response to your question on notice. Do you have any follow-up questions on that?
Of that report. One thing, if you wouldn't mind, could you email me a copy of what you've just said? Because I didn't hear all the numbers early on. It's not a perfect audio coming through. I was trying to listen hard and jot it down, but I couldn't. But thank you anyway. If you could just send me a digital version of that, that'd be good. Look, it's good that the question was asked, because that's like there's still a little bit of vagueness about what our rules actually are, and we should try and keep on top of them. Obviously, at the moment, we're well and truly above them because of the wet weather, and we're overtopping the dam. But there's going to come a time in the not too distant future when that won't be the situation, and we will have to maintain an environmental flow. So I think it's important that we are on top of that. And any looking at NRA that you can do, any prodding would be that.
Yeah, so the questions that I would be asking NRA would be, over what time frame do we have to meet that release per day? Is it over a day? I have to look at either 2.44 or 1.22, or can we swing it over a week, or can we swing it over a month? So until I get that information, it's hard for me to implement the requirement that NRA is going to attach to our licence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Councillor Best.
And I assume that the practical difficulty is going out to the dam and opening valve. Is that correct? So if it has to be done on a daily basis, someone's got to go out there and open and close valves and so on. Otherwise, if it's on a weekly basis, it's a lot more practical.
Correct.
Is that correct?
So central table, yeah. Currently, our operational staff attend the dam 3 times a week, and that's to cover off our requirements under dam safety. So during the weekdays, they are there 3 days a week. There will also need to be a discussion with NRA of actually where do we pick that water from, because the owners of our neighbouring properties of which this riparian water is released are concerned about taking it from the bottom of the dam and having very cold water moving through their system. They believe that will also cause an issue, so they're asking for water to be released from the top of the dam. So again, until we sit with NRA and I can ask those questions, it's hard for us to implement that releases that will be in agreement with our neighbours as well. So it's a bit of a twofold thing at the moment.
Councillor
Bessie. And you've only got the one release point, or is there more than one?
Only one release point at the moment. Otherwise, I would be looking at floating a pipe on the dam and having that under a gravity feed and being able to release. It may be a 2-inch pipe, it may be a 3-inch pipe that's coming over the dam, and being able to release it that way rather than opening up our scale valve. The last thing I want to do with my scale valve is to have it open a small amount and chew through the scale valve. So, because it won't be a full open, or it won't be a half open, it'll be more like a quarter to an eighth, depending on what the height of the dam is at the time. So I've got to be very careful of how we do undertake these, and I'm more inclined to put some additional infrastructure that can be thrown away rather than try and do any damage to our existing infrastructure.
Councillor Best has a question.
Thanks,
Noel. Yeah, I just had a question for Noel. At the present time, do we have any reporting requirements to NRA at the moment?
Yes,
so we still do
metering requirements there are.
Yeah.
Only.
That's all. So we don't report on the overflow of the dam and all that sort of stuff at the moment. No, but it will be required once we get into this agreement, because that's saying we have to measure inlets through outlets.
Yes. So how do we do that effectively and honestly?
Yeah.
To the best of our ability. Mm-hmm. And at what requirement does NRA, is it a 12-monthly reporting?
Yeah,
is it a 6-monthly? Is it a 3-monthly? Until we have that conversation of how we're going to implement it, mm-hmm. Then I can at least do something and to control it as best as we can.
I'll hold different onus on it. It is a lot more requirements in reporting and stuff. So.
Yes.
Just to bring all that discussion to a head with something concrete, and I think following on what Councillor Rawson said about not being able to hear everything, I wonder whether I could move, if someone will second it, that the Director of Operations Technical Services provide a written report in response to the question on notice in relation to environmental flows.
I've already, through the chair, I've emailed it through now. It's already...
Okay.
Andrew, you should have that. I've emailed it through to your email address.
All right. Well, can I propose that? You've sure. already done it, but
okay.
Can I propose that? Someone second that? Councillor Ewan, thank you very much. Yeah, we're happy with that. I mean, that follows on the discussion we had at the last meeting about when councils expect something to be done, actually getting it recorded in a resolution. So sure. That's fine. So that has been moved, seconded, and passed.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
And, well, sorry, just one other question did occur to me, Noel. The Remember when we got a grant for accessing dead water? We were thinking about a pontoon.
Correct.
And I don't think we went ahead with that in the end, did we? But if we had that, that sort of infrastructure could be used to release environmental flows from the surface of the water rather than the scour valve.
Yeah, the pontoon... The issues that we have operationally is when we do get large overflows, large downpours, yep. which that's what we're yep. dealing with at the moment. Any infrastructure that we have, we have to be careful that it doesn't get washed over the dam. So there's a bit of
good reasons why we didn't do it.
Correct. Yep. So while we were looking, it was a bigger size and things like that. So I'm looking at going over the top of the dam and just trying to float it through. But yeah, there's always a way of doing it.
Yeah.
But the size of the pipe and things like that, so as we can just open it, not have to just adjust to try and get to those. So,
yes. Okay. Any more questions in relation to that matter? I think not. Thank you. We will move on.
Oh, sorry. Yep. Mr. Through the chair, there was a second part as well.
Oh. In that. Yeah, well, I thought that would be answered.
No, there was a second part in that one. From the correct
subsequent meeting. Yes, sorry, you're right. Thanks very much.
That's okay. So the question, what are the new Natural Resources Access Regulator, NRA, metering compliance requirements for the current Corragable Town water supply system, noting that requirements for the southern inland area were due to be implemented by the 1st of June 2023? So I have contacted, or DOTS has contacted, Wenshire Council Director of Engineering to offer assistance of the above matter. The Wenshire Council is aware of their responsibilities for both non-urban metering as well as dam safety requirements associated with the Corragable Town water supply, and they will seek my assistance as and when required. So I've just offered, look, we've gone through this, we've done this, you know, are you looking at people to actually take control of that project? It was more of an assistance of what we've done and the lessons that we've learned that we're open to.
Yep.
I do note that Wedden has gone through a bit more of a change of people in their operational side of things. So
you went to the infrastructure or environmental director?
No, I went to the Director of Engineering who was responsible for those. That's my understanding. Linda.
I don't think she's engineering. I didn't think she was called engineering. Sorry.
Okay. I've just taken her title off the email that I have. Yeah, so look, we've offered our assistance. They are aware, but that was, yep. I think that was council's concern.
Yep.
They certainly are aware, they're, but they will come back to us.
Thank you.
If required. Okay. Right.
Councillor Cook, that was your question.
Thank you.
Happy with where we ended up on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it was raised and
okay. We
were giving our technical assistance where we could to councils who are part of this body.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Director. We move on to item 7, disclosures of interest. Do we have any disclosures?
No, we don't, Mr. Chair.
No disclosures of interest. While I'm talking about disclosures of interest, it might be worth mentioning that councillors have got their disclosures of interest and related parties' information, some of which has been provided, some of which hasn't been provided, so...
I'll be following that up, Mr. Chairman, with those respective councillors shortly. I have received some disclosure of interest forms and not the related party form, and some others I've received the related party form and not the disclosure of interest form. I'll follow that up with the respective councillors.
So I'm taking the opportunity of this agenda item to remind councillors to respond to the Director.
And through you, Mr. Chair, I think that they're due at the end of September, aren't they?
The disclosure of interest forms are due by the end of September, and the related party forms are due basically in time for our auditors to confirm them, to have access to them. They're going to be at council on the 28th of August, so we need to get onto those, but I will follow that up with the respective councillors in the next day or two.
Thank you. Item 8, public forum. I think we've got no public forum.
No.
Item 9, Chairman's Minute. We've got no Chairman's Minute. Item 10, Councillor Representation. I will just mention a few things that I have been involved in since the last meeting. Several of us, including me, were at the Water Management Conference, 26-27 June. Several of us, I don't know whether this is councillor representation or not, but we were at the funeral for Barney Davis on the 6th of July. On the 12th of July, I participated in a regional water security session with the other water portfolio mayors from the joint organisation, updating on regional water issues. And on the 1st and the 2nd of August, I attended the WASA, the Water Services Australia Association Chairs Forum in Canberra. Now that's all from me. Other council representation to be reported? Apart from the Water Management Conference, which Councillor Cook, Councillor Rawson and I attended. Thank you. And Councillor Nash, that's why we were all there, weren't we?
Yeah.
And no other? Okay, we will move on. Notices of motion.
No notices of motion.
Item 12, reports of staff. So we move to the main agenda. 12.1 on page 3, Water Management Conference. This is a report from the General Manager on the conference we were just talking about. Someone would like to move that? Councillor Cook. Councillor Best, thank you. Any questions or comments in relation to that report? No?
Okay. Oh, question there. I thought the dot point exploring the pros and cons of dam infrastructure. Which one would come out on top, the pros or the cons?
Cons.
Really? Yeah. That was a feeling, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it more greater impact than benefit?
Yeah, more about recycling water and that. I think
they're looking at more, at this stage, more efficiencies, I think, rather than supporting new dam infrastructure. However, go back a step. We had some positive feedback from Minister Rose at the beginning of the conference, or before the conference actually officially started. David and the Chair and I attended a JO board meeting with Minister Rose Jackson there, and I posed a question regarding the Blubbula Water Security Project, in particular Lake Rollins augmentation, and she was supportive of that project. So they're just waiting for the review to go through with the New South Wales Government during as part of the budget process. So that was positive news, I thought, in that respect.
Through the Chair, she's very vibrant, like a really good minister, I think, and seemed to be right on the ball. And I thought she did a really good speech and seems to be interested in us. He's hopeful.
Yeah, no, I agree, Councillor Nash. I think she's very impressive and she's on top of the portfolio. She's got a lot of portfolio, water.
Yeah.
And she seems to be on top of the issues. And is supportive of our project.
So feeling like she had full understanding of the project, like that she wasn't. Yeah.
Mm. Well aware of it, yeah. As is the Federal Minister, Tanya Plibersek, which we raised with her when we went to the JO meeting in Canberra. And she was at the Chair's Forum I mentioned a minute ago. She was there as well. Again, she reaffirmed support for the project. So we're hoping it's a matter of just going through the process. Ultimately, it will depend, I think, on New South Wales Treasury being satisfied that it gets through the gateway tests. But with federal and state support at a ministerial level, without that, we're not going to get anywhere. But with that, we're a long way along the track.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And you'll see that the next water conference will be hosted by Goulburn and Mulwarrie. There's no more comments on that. I put those in favour.
Aye.
Thank you. Item 12.2, page 5, the LG New South Wales Annual Conference. Someone like to move that recommendation? Councillor Cook, seconded. Councillor Nash, thank you. So this is our usual resolution approving the chair, the deputy chair, the GM, and any other interested councillors. I don't know that we need to nominate them now, it's just a question of expressing interest.
Yeah, just to let me know in the next or 2 weeks, if you would like to attend, so we can get the registrations underway during the early bird registration period.
Just a question through the GM here. Where which budget does that come through at?
We've got a councillor's training budget.
So it comes out of the training budget?
Yeah.
Councillor Wilson.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Councillor Wilson.
That's okay. I don't know how to gesticulate. Do I yell?
We rely on Councillor Best instead of you who are looking at you.
Okay, I'll just walk by there. And there's a bit of a lag as well, I know, so sometimes nothing happens for a while. Anyway, I think I've been nominated from Gabon to go as Gabon councillor rather than CTW, so that opens up a space from CTW if someone else wants to go.
Thank you. There's no more comments on that. Those in favour?
Aye.
That's correct. Thank you.
Aye.
Sorry, can I just ask, and I don't know if it's appropriate or if it's just something else, but I'll bring it up anyway in the general forum, Mr. Chair. I am nominated to be getting a certificate award at that conference, and if I will be going to CTW, I'm happy to. I don't know if you want to say that I'm from CTW or when I don't think has nominated other councillors to go, so I'm happy if that award then becomes in your name, even though I've done it. But just so that might be a question that will come up if I'm representing.
That sounds fantastic. Is that wearing a Wedden hat or a CTW hat?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Because Wedden, I did it's an executive certificate, so it's basically like an MBA course.
Yep.
That I have done on my own back, but I will be getting presented at that conference. So I just wanted to, that it's sitting there just because if in case the question comes up and they ask me who I'm representing or and who wants to be affiliated with on their council.
Well, it'd be both.
Wedden didn't pay for the course or anything like that. So.
Neither does CTW.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Like, CTW, if they pay for me to go to the conference, I will put my name as, and I don't know how many county councils would get sort of awards for their stuff like that. Well, not staff, their councils. So it's there. Ask you the question. So.
Yeah, that's fine. Just a query I have is that you have to be a councillor of Wedden Council before you're a delegate on the CTW board.
Yep.
So I suppose it'd be good if you could do recognition. Recognition from both organisations would be good.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to do both.
I'll just put it out there. Sorry, didn't mean to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And while we sort of reopened that last point, I mentioned to Gavin yesterday, we need to give some thought to whether there's any resolutions CTW would like to put up for the conference. Mm. And I think Gavin suggested he might talk to the other Water County Council GMs to see if there's a sort of an industry issue which we'd like to at least debate at the conference.
In saying that, I would suggest, and it's not CTW totally, but what is going to come up in the National Cabinet today will be, without disclosing what's going to be said, but I think there is a lot of levers are going to be pulled at local government level to get housing. And I think then, for a question for us, is the infrastructure that goes behind the new housing, and that would be something that we need to start thinking about. That the federal government is going to be bringing it down the line of who's responsible for gentle density, I think we're calling it now.
Mm.
So that would be something that we would come back to CCW in implementing the infrastructure behind that.
Yep. Providing the water infrastructure for solving the housing crisis.
Yes, yep. And that's probably going to be something announced tonight if it's going to come from, well, it's if they agree to it today, but it's on the table.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, well.
Yeah, and I can raise that through the chair. I can raise that with the other county councillors as well, because they'll be in the same, obviously, they're obviously in the same boat. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's not something for this meeting, but if Gavin comes forward with something later.
But, you know, they start looking at the grants to get the infrastructure to get the housing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think actually we'd resolved that. So we move on to item 12.3, page 7, progress report against the delivery program. Would someone like to move that we note the progress report? Councillor Ewan, thank you. Seconded. Councillor Cook. Any questions or comments in relation to that report? Lengthy report.
I have one.
Yes, Councillor Cook.
And a few are the orange as progressing, and I would actually think that some of them are completed and ongoing as opposed to progressing. It's just terminology, but I think we should be rewarding the staff for some of these are completed and then they come back up again, rather than they're just progressing, because they are doing the work. It's just something that gets done all the time. So I think by not actually acknowledging it's completed and then ticks over to be done again, we're sort of...
Is there any particular one that we can use that as an example?
Well, maintenance program is delivered, but it still is an orange or an amber.
Which is number one?
The second one.
Which is because it's always on.
That's right. So I'm not sure if it's we need another box or another, but it's progressing because it's already on, but it doesn't mean it's not being done. So they never get to a completed stage.
No.
I don't suppose they could.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, some of them are. I spoke to Councillor Cook about those. Because it's a rolling program as well, over a 4-year period, some of those, and it's like the long term financial plan, as I said to Peter, that we do that, we get it adopted in that period, in that year, so we can mark it off as being completed. But then the next year obviously rolls around and we review the long term financial plan, and it's an ongoing process. So it's, some we could have as green for the reporting period, and then reverts to progressing for the next period or the next year. But we can also update it in the comments as well to say it has been done in this period too.
And so live policy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always going. But it just, when you look down the list of greens versus oranges, it's like, oh, that's not really fair.
Well, maybe green could be completed but ongoing or something like that, so that like the maintenance program where
completed and or ongoing
every year,
or it could be like a pizza half half.
Andrew's got it.
Yes, Councillor Rawson.
He's in the road.
Just a quick suggestion that perhaps for those ongoing projects, obviously, there's going to be timelines through the year for each of those projects. If they're operating on time, then they just get a green to say that they're ongoing and on time.
Yep.
And an amber to say that there's been some delays, but still ongoing. You could do it that way.
Yeah, but it just means that instead of having all these oranges, we actually do realise that we're getting somewhere and it's rewarding.
We have half and half, maybe.
Yeah.
Half green, half
orange. Pizza.
Circle.
Yeah. You just have to change your
Yeah.
Your chat, yeah, your
rating as well. Pink. Let's go to pink.
Thank you for the comment. We will let the staff take that on board.
We'll bring up something.
Any other comments on the specific item, progress against the plan? No comments. Councillor Rawson, no comments. No? Okay, well, I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. That's carried. 12.4, Levels of Service Update Report. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Best, Councillor Nash, thank you. I don't know whether you want to make a few comments.
A few comments with this. Through you, Mr. Chair. And after lengthy conversations and deliberations with the senior management team, with Noel and Peter, and also our new assets officer, Ben, and as you can see in the report, we've been grappling on how do we capture information, or how can we measure our levels of service that we've got adopted in our asset management plan. As I said, using our current system. So we've Noel's had close discussions with our software systems professional, and we've engaged their services, or we're already paid for a package that is being delivered to us. But we can delve into using that a bit more, with seeing what they can come up with to capture the information regarding our levels of service in the current system we've got. You can see that we've listed a number of questions there in the report. And then the main one is that, can we capture data to provide reliable measurement and verifiable reporting of its achievements against its levels of service and industry benchmarks using our current system? So we've engaged the consultant to work through that directly with us, so we can capture some meaningful information that we can report back to the councillors, as well as provide a commitment and report back to our customers as well, making sure it's information is readable, and it's not too technical, I suppose, but it's customers can understand it. But we can make sure too, and give the councillors assurance that we are meeting, or we're striving to meet our levels of service that we've set. If we aren't meeting them, why aren't we meeting them, and how can we improve? So we're working through that now. Noel, did you want to add anything further to that?
I'm happy to take questions if anyone's interested, but yeah, I think you've covered it.
Yeah, I think the point that I made to Gavin and Noel yesterday, in fact, was that we've got our levels of service, and they're probably what should be continued. What's important for the councillors is to know whether we're meeting them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty well to have levels of service.
Absolutely.
Councillor Rawson, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, no, sorry, I was disagreeing with you.
Oh, good. Yeah, so that, from a councillor's point of view, that's the important thing. Are we meeting them?
Yeah.
It's not just a box you've got to tick that we've got them and you move on. We've got a supervisory role, and that's what this is all. Since this was raised to you, so I guess this is what this is about, and we're moving forward. That's good.
I did have one question. I know you do a lot of testing on the water, but do we do testing at the end of the line? Like, I know we don't own the infrastructure of people's houses, so how do we do testing on, or say, like, all the branches off, you know, from them? Do we do each one of those individually, or?
Yeah, through the chair, we have a sampling program that has been adopted in participation with New South Wales Health. So that provides them an opportunity to oversee where our sampling points are.
Yeah.
And those sampling points certainly are at the extremities.
Yeah.
But our responsibility is only to the meter.
Yeah.
So it's not internal mope work or anything. So, we look at the worst case. We try to pick those, as well as some other centralised areas like a park or something like that, where there's a lot of water going to go through.
Mm.
Or it may be variable in its usage. Like in winter time, it may be less people there, so you could have water that has been stagnant in. The design of our system of sampling has been done in association with New South Wales Health.
Okay.
Well, through the chair, I'm just wondering, how do you know when the meters are had it, like, you know, I noticed she had to replace a few meters.
Yes.
How do you know when they're not working?
So the issue of meters is there a revolving type mechanism that will only go slower, it will never go faster. So which means the consumption of water that will be flowing through that meter will be slowing down, therefore the revenue that Central Tablelands has can be less than what the true reading is. So we do have a variation that we operate between, plus or minus 3%. We have a stand of, if it reaches 7,500 kilolitres, we replace the meter and go through and start replacing those. That's why at the moment we've had after every meter read, that a report is provided to us. We then put that out to the operational people as a filling job, more so than an essential job. But it does take priority, like weekdays, things like that, when we can get out. It's more of a filling. So we've had a really good response to those. But you know, whilst we say we try to get rid of the 7,500, we'll also look down. And if something is approaching it, or if we've got high consumption going through meters, is another one that we may look at knocking them back out of our 5,000 kilolitres. And ensuring that we are not affected by the slowness, the inherent slowness of a meter due to its aging.
Thank you.
Okay. And through you, Mr. Chair, we can also do meter testing as well. So if the customer rings up and queries their account or their consumption, we can do a meter test on those meters too. And as Noel said, we bring in that, was that the variance of 3% or plus or minus.
So you actually have to be there to test it, or you can test it?
No, you have to be there.
Yeah.
There's a fee applicable to that. Yeah. Depends on the circumstances whether we waive the fee or not. Generally it
is. So what we, through the chair, what we do advise anyone that is questioning how can I test it or should we get a meter tested, we advise the customer that it's an easy process for them. All they need to do is to look at the cyclometer, take a reading, put a bucket underneath it that's graduated, take say 5 litres or 10 litres and open the tap, record what that meter is, see that you've got 5 or 10 litres in the bucket, turn it off, have a look at your meter and make sure that 5 litres is matching.
Yeah.
So, and again, there's that little variance of 3%, but if it's well and truly over, there is filters on the beginning of the meter, so there's like a little perforated gauze, and sometimes you could get some like swarfing, especially if we're doing tapping, live tappings, you could get a pickup and that could slow a meter down.
Okay.
But it's still within that 3%. So we do advise the customers before they spend the money, make sure, go and do that simple test, because when we come out, we'll take a meter, disconnect, put our own standard meter on, open the tap, run about a kilolitre of water through at a certain rate. So we'll do it at a slow rate, a medium rate, and a high rate, and then we'll look at the average and to see whether it's within class or not.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Comprehensive. Okay. Any more comments? No? Okay. All those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, Jared. 12.5, page 19, the Canberra Community Radio Service. Would someone like to move that? Councillor Cook, seconded Councillor Nash, thank you. So this is an interesting one. I ask one question before we debate it generally. On the section 356 donation, we don't need to specify amount for the donation, it's just the electricity, whatever it turns out to be.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, there is an indicative amount specified in the report, but given the fact there's not a separate meter.
The meter, we're not quite sure how much it is.
Basically, that cost will be absorbed in our electricity cost for the reservoir itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I know in Blaney Council, when we do our schedule of section 356 donations, there's always an amount.
Very difficult in this circumstance to specify other than a range.
Yeah.
Given the nature of the donation that's being made here.
Yeah.
But it does the report does inform council of what the indicative amount would be. You're quite right, normally or usually with an amount there is, unless it's an in-kind donation or something where the amount's not quite firm, there is an amount specified generally.
Yeah, well, there's just a question as to whether the section 356 says you've got to actually quantify the donation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if not, that's fine. Any questions? Well, Gav, would you like to explain a bit more background of this one?
Just quickly through you, Mr. Chair. This one, apparently, this came to my attention the existing licence holder was sold the licence to Vision, the Christian or United Christian Broadcasters Australia Limited, and they contacted us to continue on using our facility to transmit the radio service from our Canoundra Town Reservoir site. We've held the equipment there for, it goes back, one comment was around 30 years, apparently, and it hasn't caused any issues previously with our organisation. The first thing I thought of is, what is the WHS issues? What are the public liability issues, access, and whatnot? So we've worked through that. I've provided a copy of the, we haven't signed it yet, obviously we're waiting for a resolution, but haven't signed it yet, but a host site agreement there. We've also met with them online and worked through any issues. They've provided a public liability insurance cover certificate. We've gone through the WHS requirements and also the access requirements, which are summarised in my report as well. So we see no reason why we can't continue on in providing this service, this community service. It's at no charge to the organisation, but I think it's just a good benefit for to continue on with the Canoundra community. If there's any questions?
Yes, good community service.
Yes.
Well, it's not a lot of money, is it, Chair?
All good. I think we're all supportive of continuing this arrangement and signing that agreement. So those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. 4.6, the resolutions update. Do I have a mover of that recommendation? Yes, Councillor Best, Councillor Cook, thank you. I should look across to Councillor Lawson every now and again. next time.
Well, I could be doing dancing down the end of the table.
No, I'll look at you to move the next one, Councillor Rawson.
That's okay. It's
okay.
All good.
Okay, so we've had that moved and seconded. Any questions or comments of the General Manager relation to progress with those outstanding resolutions? I think not. We're all happy with that. Thank you. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, Carrie. 12.7. Move on to financial matters. The investment report. Someone like to move that?
Yeah, I'll move it.
Nash, thank you very much. Councillor Rawson. I said I'd look at him, I forgot.
He's on the board.
Councillor Rawson has seconded that. Yes, Peter, would you like to add anything there? I'd certainly like to note the fantastic rate we've just got from Reliance Bank. As I said to Debbie yesterday, we set a PB on that one.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think we've had a couple of pauses now from the RBA from their interest rate cycle. So I think we're pretty close to reaching the peak of the cycle. So we've been able to take advantage of some pretty good returns. That's the exceptional one. That just happened to be one where they required funds and we were able to take advantage of it. They are a local institution as well in Blaney, so it was an opportunity to support them as well. The issue going forward, I suppose, is whether if interest rates, the expectation is that they have peaked. Well, that's an issue of some debate as to whether that's actually occurred or whether there'll be another further increase, but the markets are sort of pricing in the fact that, you know, they're pretty well they're at their peak. So our investment policy actually allows for up to 2-year period of investments, whether we look at going a little bit longer than 12 months to 2 years as interest rates start to to look to decline probably sometime next year. Whether we sort of look at that. At the moment, I'm pretty comfortable working on that 12 months part of the curve, and I think we've done quite well. And as the chairman's indicated, I think comparable with other councils and so forth, I think we're doing quite well in that regard. In terms of the general sort of economic conditions, I think we're starting to see the impact of the tightening that's happened over the last 12 months, and I think things are starting to tighten up in the economy generally. And I think over the next 6 to 12 months, I think things are going to be a little bit more difficult going forward than they have been in the past. So I think in terms of maybe the impact on our collection of our fees and charges, there may be an impact there. We may have to enter into more arrangements with people to help them with their accounts and so on. So, but we're always looking at that anyway. But I think overall, I think we're doing quite well in the current environment.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Any questions on the report? I think we've got almost $10 million at the moment, so it's the highest. The cash at the moment seems a bit higher than it's normally been.
Yeah, we do have a little few carryovers that we're reporting on later there, so
yep.
That's part of the reason
reason
for it. And we have had a few, we're fortunate, such as with the new reservoir, that the majority of that is grant funded, so we've been fortunate with grants over the last couple of years as well, so
yeah.
that's helped us out as well.
Okay, if there's no more comments, those in favour, thank you. 12.8, revoting uncompleted works. Someone like to move that? Councillor Cook, thank you. And Councillor Nash? Oh, next time, Councillor Rawson.
Oh! In dance.
Yes, and as you'll see, the vast bulk of this is the 12 meg reservoir, 3.16 meg. Any questions on this one?
I'll just ask for the newbie councillor. Is that a normal thing that you just, everything that wasn't spent last year gets revoted into the new year? Is that the way it works?
No, it's not everything.
Oh, well, as in new projects.
Through. The chair, Councillor Cook, not everything gets re-voted. There may be some savings on some items or whatever that's been passed through or whatever, or items that have been put in the, there may have been an item that was in the 22-23 budget that was then put in, taken out of that budget and then been put in the 23-24,
okay.
Where you don't have to carry that forward because it's already in the 23-24 budget. But there's a normal process of jobs that are in progress or funds that haven't been spent for projects the intention is to undertake them.
Yep.
So you actually have a resolution to vote them across. So that is normal. I mean, your aim is obviously to get this as low as possible. And we were talking earlier about, you know, progress and some things. Obviously, you'd like to get as many of these projects done as you can within the time period that you originally allocated the funds. But sometimes in a practical sense, it's not possible. So this gives us an opportunity now to carry them forward, and now I think we've got a pretty full team. We did have a few staffing issues there for a while, so we may be in a situation where we can sort of cut some of these down in future, and that's an issue for Noel and his team, but I'm quite sure they'll be working hard to get through those.
But I think the main point in what you said is that it would usually be, it's in the budget, and that's how it usually goes from year to year through the budget process. So that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Hmm. We do, Councillor Cook, we do have some rolling programs like the mains renewals program, which we've finished them in Millthorpe and pretty much in Canoundra, but we do have some to do in Blaney and Carcor. So we've got some money that we're rolling across, the unspent money, and hopefully we can get that down over the next 12 months. So
that makes sense.
I said to Peter yesterday, I think the main thing from a councillor's point of view is to get assurance from the staff that we're re-voting this money to be spent this year. Are we going to be able to spend all this money this year, or are we just going to be, you know, rolling it over? Because we've got our long-term financial plan. We've, we've got amounts in for every year going forward. This is now in for this year. So we've got to be reasonably confident that it'll never be, you'll never do it exactly, but the answer to the question, are staff reasonably confident that we'll spend this money we're voting this year? And if the answer is yes, all positions are filled, we are reasonably confident we're going to spend this year, well, that's, you know, happy days.
We have, just a question of the people, we have enough cash at hand for the car court treatment planning that completes up by December?
The reservoir.
Yeah, the reservoir.
That's in our infrastructure restriction. We've got $810,000. At the moment, we're using the grant funds first, trying to use the grant monies first, and then towards the end of that project, I think it's scheduled to be finished end of, by December.
Yes, I was thinking, you've got 1.2 in your unrestricted, so I think that was all just...
Yeah, we've got... we should be... we shouldn't have an issue there at the moment. We should be well covered for that. And as we get towards the end of that project, our cash on hand will come down because we'll be using our own money. At the moment, we're actually incurring the expenditure and then getting reimbursed the grant from Orange City Council because they're the actual grant receiver. So.
And I assume on that we've had progress claims, seeing that we've done a fair bit of work already.
We have, yes, Mr. Chairman, we've had that. And I must say, I'll give credit to Orange City Council. They've been very prompt in flowing the funds through to us. There's been no issues.
That's good.
Pretty much there at all.
Long may that continue. Any more questions on this one?
I've got money, $3 million left.
We'll spend it
now. If there's no more questions, I'll put that to you. Okay, those in favour, I think that's carried. Thank you. Now we move to 12.9, page 32 of the business paper, the certificates required to get our draft financial statements before the auditors. Someone like to move that 7-part recommendation?
Andrew?
Councillor Rawson.
Yay.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Cook. Seconded, Councillor Ewan, thank you. Yes, Peter, would you like to explain what this is all about?
For you, Mr. Chairman, this is our annual certificate that we need to do and to actually be in a position to refer the statements to our auditors who are actually due on the 28th to come. We've pretty much got the statements finished. We do have some small issues to deal with assets to finalise, but pretty much they're completed. They're there if anyone wants to have a look at them. I expect they'll probably be completed in the next 2 or 3 days when some of these outstanding matters are finalised with our assets. We've got a new assets officer who's learning the process and, you know, we've been working through the issues there and getting support and working through those issues, and it's been a new experience for all of us in terms of the previous asset officer was obviously involved in designing the system and he was more familiar with it than most other people. So we've been working through that. So hopefully we'll be able to finalise those issues fairly quickly and we should have the final set and we should be able to give it to the auditors and hopefully we'll have a trouble-free audit. The other issue, of course, is the internal restrictions, which I have actually given councillors a copy of. I finished them, just that summary there yesterday. So basically you can see there that our internal restrictions have gone from $8 million to $9.4 million. So that's reflected in the cash that we're holding. And that's allowing for unrestricted cash of $500,000 to meet our creditors as they fall due. Mainly it's in the infrastructure replacement restriction. So the other thing that we have increased the ELE restriction to $598,000 because we do have a lot of long-term employees that are now accumulating quite a bit of long service leave and so on. So if you give one of those long-serving employees leave, then that's quite a bit of cash that you've got to find in that circumstance.
What percentage is that,
Pete? We try and We'll try and get to around 60% coverage. We have our annual leave's a bit high this year because we did have one workers' compensation matter where we had to restore the leave. So we're probably a little bit under the 60 at this stage, but hopefully we'll be able to sort of, it's not bad coverage unless we get a run of people leaving that have got very large balances and large service. And this is an issue for all councils. I think it's a challenge for everyone. You've got to have sufficient cash there in that situation. So, but I think we've got a reasonable amount of cover there. And,
yeah, Pete, generally the benchmark is to be around 30%, is that correct, across the council?
Yeah, depending on the demographic of your council, your age of your employees and so on. But some councils work on lower than 30%, which means if you get a long-serving employee leave, you've got to find that money out of your unrestricted cash, which can be difficult at times, particularly someone that's been there many, many years and is on a fairly high salary. So it's a challenge, but I think, you know, we've pretty much got it. We've got pretty good buffer there at the moment. Working forward.
One thing which I ask every year, I'll ask again, when the council has signed this certificate, we're signing the figures which are, we haven't actually seen yet, present fairly.
I'll send them.
I did send them through, Andrew.
Yes.
Yes, I've seen them and I had a few look at them before the meeting. They look good.
Good.
Just to explain that to the council, why I've done that is because Councillor Rawson wasn't actually physically here. I sent him a copy, so
I see.
So when I tabled them, he had a chance to actually look at them. So I sent him both those documents.
You're assuming we've got a chance to look at them.
Yeah. That's correct. But, I mean, they're pretty comfortable with what we've got. We've got a loss of about 400,000. It may increase slightly when we do some of the some of the write-offs of some of the assets, some of the old AC mains we've got to account for that have been replaced with the new the reticulation mains renewal program. So we've got to factor that in and just finalise a few things there.
Yeah. But my question, Peter, was simply that in your view, there's no reason why the council is signing this are not able to say that they fairly present the operating result and financial position for the year.
That's correct. At this point in time, that's the case.
It does say draft through the chair.
Yeah.
Yep. And is there any physical issue with Councillor Rawson signing? You're trying to get these signed today, I suppose.
No, Mr. Chairman, we've already, I think the General Manager's touched on that with Councillor Rawson, and we will arrange to meet at an agreeable time next week to get the certificate signed.
Yep. The rest of us can do it now.
Yep.
Today. Okay. Any questions on this? I think not. Those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
It's carried.
Aye.
1210, maintenance of council systems. I'd like to move that one. Yes, Councillor Rawson, I think. Thank you.
Say again?
It's you're moving this one, right? Yes, thank you.
I'm holding.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Seconded, Councillor Best. Thank you. Any questions of Noel on this one?
I can never understand how somebody's come up with a burst proof meter. I didn't think it'd be that difficult. Especially in Blaney, 29 lost the meters.
It was 73, wasn't it?
That's just change. Yeah. So through the chair, that's been the freezing of the meters, and that's inherently what we have to work against. However, I will state that we are reviewing, especially with our automated metering. They are burst proof, so they say it's a different mechanism that they're using. We have got a couple around that we are have installed, and especially in Millthorpe, because it's higher elevation, so it's going to be colder as well. So,
Yeah, I think that's probably the next item, not this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on 12.10, any questions?
Nope.
No, those in favour?
Aye.
It's carried. Then we move to 12.11, Performance of Systems. Someone like to move that one? Yes, Councillor Nash, thank you, and Councillor Best. Any questions on this one, apart from burst meter questions? We've all been through all those stats. No questions arising on any of that? No, if not, I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, carried. 12.10, Water Security, Drought Impact Report.
12.12, amen.
Let's get that moved and seconded. Who would like to move that one? Councillor Nash, thank you. Seconded. Yes, Councillor Rawson, thank you. Any questions of Noel in relation to this one? Those fantastic photos.
The weather must have been okay from the Port Smith. That was amazing. We had some nice days, didn't we?
Mm.
Yeah, very fortunate.
Yeah, there were good photos that Gavin set ground starting at 5 a.m., I think.
Yeah, I must confess I wasn't down there.
Wasn't
they
there.
Came from.
They actually started at 3:30 a.m.
Did
they?
Yeah,
they did.
You had your alarm on that morning?
I was there.
Yeah.
Woodstock conversation's all completed?
Yes.
All about the planning?
Still a little bit more. Hoping we can get back into that and complete that off for the next council meeting. Or we are for next month. It's just tidying up work. And it's just
the testing there worked, didn't it? The two-way flow testing and so on?
Correct. So in my last report,
we
reported we actually achieved greater than what had been expected. So, yes, it's just tidy up work. Our priority has been low for
it. Yeah, no, it's
compared to the 12 meg reservoir one. So,
Any questions? I think after this meeting, councillors will have the opportunity of actually inspecting the progress with the 12 meg reservoir.
Yeah,
that's correct. Yes, and as I said to Councillor Cook earlier today, this morning, the photos don't do it justice. The size of the pad and the base. So, and Councillor Rawson will organise a future inspection for yourself and visit. So, as well as out to Lake Rollins. So hopefully.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, those in favour?
Aye.
That's carried. 12.13, Renewable Energy Projects Update. Again, do we have someone moving that one? Councillor Cook, thank you very much. Seconded. Councillor Nash, thank you. It's a good comprehensive report. Some positive news there. Noel, you'd like to just give it a little bit of background to this? Take on this.
Certainly. And again, for the people that are coming out today, we will actually see at Carcor Water Treatment Plant the solar panels, and we can certainly speak some more about those. The issue that we're having at the moment in operational is the cost difference of continuing our pumping in off-peak times compared to switching over and taking full advantage of the solar panels to utilise the energy created by the solar panels for our operations and try and reduce off the off-peak pumping hours. We're still not convinced that it is in our best interest to run better than what we have. And I've given an example of that graph there where you can see with your time frames. So starting at midnight through to 6 a.m., you can see high usage of electricity. And then you can also see starting at 10 p.m., high usage. So during the day, we're taking it day by day. So our water treatment plant operator will adjust his levels depending on how the day looks to try and top up our reservoir rather than having it run down to a certain level and then drive it up. But it's a really good I believe it gives you good capture. We're wasting the usage of the generation of solar that we're not using, which is the grey area, compared to what we would be exporting it to. So the value of export is very small on our returns from that. But it gives you an idea of just what we're trying to do and how we can manipulate. And we can use this as a bit of a base model. But it does highlight battery would be a very good option to give us a better performance. But again, we can also look at the return of investment now. So instead of having it such a high level as where we first looked at this project, this sort of data gives us a bringing it down, scaling it down to what we're actually doing. So we can firm up then what our return on investments can be.
Yeah, through the chair, that looks like you might be able to get a grant for a battery. That's what you want to ask.
Yes. So we, through the JO, they were working through all of their members to put forward applications for batteries, and CTW was successful. I think in my last report, I put about four or five towards, but we were successful in getting one through. So we're awaiting on how that will progress through. It is a smaller size battery. It was optimised to a smaller size battery. I haven't provided any more details on that because, you know, whoever designed it took away from where my design was. That supported the funding for a grant. So I'm more inclined to allow them to provide that information and answer the questions rather than myself at the moment.
The point about a battery, Noel, is you take, you know, the grey that's exported and you save that and you use it later.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And as well as, you know, the calculations when I was looking at the battery was more about an electrical storm, something going through where we needed the water but we don't have an electricity supply. Normally we will get that electricity supply restored within 2 hours. It's pretty good on that. Sometimes we have gone out to 4 or 5 hours. But it's not just on our renewable energy like we have now. I think when we look at the advantage of going up 6 times in our clear water tank storage, we can run our plant a lot longer than what we're running. You can see where the peaks are in the midnight through. They're the pumping times where we're actually filling up our 12 meg reservoir. So we'll have the opportunity to run it longer during the day. So that's why I'm holding back on our additional funding that we've got in our renewable energy to also look at further solar panels for Carcoal water treatment plant. But again, I'll put forward that proposal to you.
So just looking at this. So that's the consumption of electricity up there.
Yes.
And that's because that's during the day when we're running off the solar panels.
The yellow is the energy pushed in by the solar panels.
And that difference there
is
because we're making it by solar, but we're not using it. But over here there's no solar because there's no sun.
That's exactly
I get it.
And we're doing that pumping at night time because that's when the tariff is lower anyway.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I think one issue I mentioned to Gavin and Noel Peter yesterday, we're talking about some good news. Media, the progress we've made on the 12 meg reservoir and some of those fantastic photographs, coupled with what we're doing here, is a good news story. And I think Gavin's going to, because we probably need some approval from because the 12 meg reservoir is government funded. I mean, it's 800,000 funded by us as well. We need to tick off whatever we want to say by the government, but we shouldn't assume that they'll say no. We should assume they'll be happy. Mm-hmm. So we should take the initiative to get something out there because it's all good news.
One other question, not a question, but a comment I'll make is that it goes back to the water LG New South Wales water conference about what are called managing drinking water during extreme conditions. That might be something brought up because a battery and a solar gives us reduces that, doesn't it, a lot. And yeah, like I said, if we can, maybe that's something that they could, the water could push that to say we want more pumping stations to be battery powered and solar powered, and and gives us that resilience during bushfires and extreme weather events and stuff like that. So it's just another avenue to push for more funding for more batteries sort of thing. So,
and it assures you that you've got power.
So through the chair, for people that haven't looked at the granting through the JO, the cost of the batteries, the grant funding for us is 700 and something K. So it is a fair commitment, and that's where I'm concerned that using this data enhances our ability of actually getting a really nut down our return return of investment. So, but you know, you're looking at a commitment of 750K just for the battery, not for the installation, not for extra solar panels, not for inverters. It's purely for the battery. So it is a good
commitment.
Very
dear, but
the insurance.
You've got to go with the future.
And we still don't know what that long term will be. So. Before the battery, that is, I'm saying.
Yeah, the balancing act, of course, like all these new technologies, the prices is coming down, it's coming down. So how long do you accumulate?
Invest in
the battery made in Australia now.
Well, again, talking through the chair, but also be aware that the commitment from the federal government to go towards net zero is all based on a reduction of electricity costs, that renewables will be cheaper. So I believe in, well, in my thoughts of planning is, if I look at a battery to go through for the next 15 years, do we need to replace our batteries, or will there be enough energy available through renewables in our system that we can then reduce our requirements for our battery and our own solars? So I think that's something that council should need to, when I present my papers, that's the background of where I'll be looking at as well.
Right.
Where's the ball?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to commend Noel also on the work that he's done. He's done a huge amount of work, as can be seen in the report, but also working with ChargeWorks, have been a really good consultant for us too. Yeah, it's been amazing the work that they've been able to achieve, not only at Carcorp, but also throughout our, obviously throughout our network. Coupled with obviously the Torbeg Reservoir project and the day-to-day operations. So thank you, Noel, for
I think I said at the last meeting this report was.
It's all nice to see it complementing itself, I think. That's the best part we can see. Yeah. We're not wasting on anything. It complements as we step forward. So that's a good thing.
Any further questions of Noel on the renewable energy projects? No? No further questions? I'll put that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 13, do we have any questions on that?
No, Mr. Chair, I've never seen any questions on
notice. Or do we have any without notice? No. No? Well, that being the last item on the agenda, we need to go into confidential matters. So we will come back and report on that in a minute. So I'd like to move. We go into closed session. Councillor Best. Councillor Ewan, thank you. Those in favour? Thank you. Carried. That's carried. Okay, we're now back in open session. We're now back in open session. I want to report on the decision that was reached by council in relation to item 14.1, deed with a neighbouring property owner at Lake Rollins. Council resolved that council authorise the execution by council of a deed with the new property owner of Cooming Vale, Neville, to maintain the watering of stock on this property, currently sourced from Lake Rollins. That now concludes the business of this meeting, and I declare the meeting closed. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.